Disintegrating because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Tuesday morning, folks. Thanks for being part of the huddle. I don't know what I would do with my life if I didn't get up, have the opportunity to get up every morning and come in here and have a discussion with all of you out there. I heard somebody yesterday said, listen, Coach, I keep trying to get in there and I can't get in there. It just spins and spins and spins. Well, listen, you're trying to get in here, trying to get in the queue. You let her keep spinning. Patience is a virtue. We'll get you in there. We're supposed to be able to have 50 people get in here. I don't think we've ever met that limit. Some of you are listening on the phone. Some of you are watching later, all that kind of stuff. Those who are trying to get in, remember this, CoachDaveLive.com. You're always going to find us there. Quit going to Facebook. Quit going to YouTube. Stop doing that. We're not there, okay? We are not there. Now, if you want to watch the show, you want to be part of the show, go to CoachDaveLive.com. It is always broadcast there. If you want to join the huddle, there's a link that you can click on there that'll get you in the huddle. And the more the merrier. And God bless y'all. Hey, Trump, good seeing you this morning. Mark, been missing you. Yeah.
For those of you who have trouble, just send me an email at admin@authotech.com if you have trouble getting in, and I will help you out.
Let me make it easier. If you have trouble getting in, just send me an email and I'll forward it to Jared, because you're not going to remember that. So you can just go coach@coachdavelive.com, send it to me and I'll forward it to Jared. And we'd love for you to get in here. And I'm sorry some of you have not been able to, but it is what it is, what it is, what it is. And here it is, the 24th of July. Lord, give me some direction here today. My heart's beating in a direction that just got to be sensitive when we go there. And I want to give a tip of the cap to Ray LeBlanc. Most of you know Ray. Ray is relocated to Wisconsin. I got to tell you something. I know some folks that are all in. I know some. Ray's one of them. He's all in. And Ray's not all in follow me. Ray's all in to follow the Lord, serve the Lord. And you know, what's that old saying? You can teach a guy to fish, or however the thing goes, right? You can feed him for a day or teach him to fish and feed him for a lifetime. Ray's caught his stride, man. Caught his stride. And I'm sorry that he's clear up in Wisconsin, because now he's like 12 hours away from me. And I can't say, hey, Ray, go to the airport and pick that guy up for me, because it's a little bit farther for him to go. But he'd do it. But he's up there with Rob Pugh, another hero, who's fighting for all he's worth up there, trying to do what's right and coming against all kinds of opposition. Hey guys, this is never going to be easy. Welcome, David Arthur, is live from someplace in Philadelphia out there with Tom Dumb. Hey guys, listen, this ain't going to be easy. This is not going to be easy. I was without getting into the political realm too much. They know for a shadow of a doubt now that the whole Trump thing was made up. The evidence has come out. It was made up. The whole FISA warrant was based on a phony. They all know that now. Not know that. And the scripture says that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. And what is lawlessness? I did a video a few years ago called Policing the Law Abiding. Did you ever notice that, folks? It just cooks my gizzard. When I drive into my little hometown of Hebron, there sits the cop with his radar out trying to catch people speeding. Of all the things that they have to worry about, they're out there worrying about people speeding. Well, why are they out there worrying about people speeding? Because their number one, I'm going to give you some truth here now, whether you like it or not. The government understands this. They can't control crime. They can't control it. So Their object is to try to continue to control those who follow the law. We have a drug epidemic in the state of Ohio. I guess it's unbelievable. My wife works at the pregnancy health care center here in locally. She came home last night. She was telling me about some of the clients that she's dealing with. I said, honey, listen, most people have no spiritual understanding at all. Most people you come in contact with have no spiritual understanding at all. And the other three quarters that you come in contact have very shallow spiritual understanding. And I asked yesterday, and if I get around to it today, I want to play a short video of Russ Dizdar. I probably won't get around to it today, but why do you want to be mediocre? In your Christianity, why do you want to be mediocre? What the heck? As Russ Dizdar says, the hero of humankind, Jesus Christ, dwells inside you. If you're born again in the Spirit of God, the hero of all humankind lives inside you. It's not past. It's not something that happened. Bible says he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. And all the stuff that we see going on around us, we permit it to go on. And how good a Christian do you want to be? Now, hang on. What does that even mean? How do you be a good Christian? How deep do you want to go in Christianity? You want to just be shallow? You just want to sit on, you just want to be in the box and peek out every once in a while? A Christian should not be afraid to do anything. A Christian shouldn't be afraid of the government. Now, listen, afraid of what the government can do to us. But there ain't anything that the government can do to me that's going to cause me to compromise on what I believe. Nothing. Ain't nothing. And that's really all they try to do, isn't it? You watch the government. What do they try to do? They try to police the law abiding. They get a charge against you, and they make five charges against you, and then they try to get you to, what do they call that? What do they call that? When they take a plea deal. They go out there and they catch guys that are, I know a friend of mine who got caught drunk driving, and it was debatable. It was 0.8 or whatever. Debatable as to whether he's drunk or not. And, of course, they take him through the right rigmarole, make him get an attorney and all that kind of stuff and all the expenses that go along with it. And then they bring him into court, and then they fine him $300, and they give him $600 in court costs. It's all about money. It's all about money. Listen, money makes the world go round. And if you think that Hillary Clinton and her cabal are going to go down, do you have any idea how much money they have? Do you understand that they, in my opinion, they've embezzled money? Do you understand that Obama sent money to terrorist countries? He didn't have the authority to do that. It's one of the most lawless, that you and I pay our taxes, and then he gives it to terrorists. At what point do we say, I'm sorry, I ain't doing that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. And we'll never do that if we just worrying about us and what's going to happen to us. Because if we don't somehow stop some of this tyranny, our children and grandchildren, they're going to live as slaves. I'm just telling you. You can believe it or you cannot believe it. My mom and dad, my dad wasn't a wave maker at all. He would not believe what's going on. He wouldn't believe it. He wouldn't believe the Democratic Party that he was so staunchly loyal to. He wouldn't believe the unions and what's going on in the unions. He wouldn't believe that. He wouldn't believe what his Catholic Church has become. My dad wouldn't believe it. That's only one generation. And so we sit back comfortably. Those of us sit back and we watch Trump get hammered day in and day out. And for the most part, not one of us take a risk at all. We ain't taking a risk. I got some stuff to show you today that will absolutely curl your friggin' toes. How great a Christian do you want to be? You want your name written in the Faith Hall of Fame, the new Faith Hall of Fame? You want to be able to stand before the Lord and have him say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant? You want to stand before the Lord and say, you did it. You made it in by the skin of your teeth. Come on in here, man. Come on in here, Mr. Luke Warner. Hey, Luke, I got a place for you right over here, Luke. You go over and sit over here. Sit over here. Go ahead, Vinny.
Yeah, just want to say the Sinister Six, right? The guys that he's going to take the security clearance away from. Watch what happens now. Now we're going to hear about it. Now Trump's being a dictator. Now he sees what he's doing. He's going to do it, man. It's going to be a bunch of nonsense.
So where's our
team? He should have done this a long time ago.
Where's our team? Where is our team?
Right.
Our team is still praying for the rapture. That's where our team is. Our team is still sitting on their arse, sitting on their arse in the church, having no impact of anything at all. My wife goes last night, and she overheard him last night at the, I'm going to try to get this right, Michelle. See, Michelle works at the pregnancy healthcare. What does that do? They try to help the downtrodden who get pregnant coming in. It's noble work. It's noble work. But somebody, a comment came up last night talking about, going to the abortion clinics. And they jokingly say, well, call the Dobenmeyers. They'll do it. Like we're some kind of freaks. Like we're some kind of stinking freaks. I get sick. I get so sick of it. See, God, can I tell you something? I ain't a freak. I'm not a freak. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm trying to raise up. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I'm trying to raise up others. Because simply praying and simply going to church and simply going through that routine of Christianity, dudes, that ain't going to make no difference at all. It ain't going to make any difference. And all you got to do is go back and read the history. Read the Faith Hall of Fame. Go to Hebrews 11 and read the Faith Hall of Fame as Mark Trumpet's data of what people have done so that we might be able to stand here today and how we can't get anybody on our side to stand up and fight at all. And I think I know the genesis of it, and I'm going to try to go there today. Let me open it up. Has anybody got a comment they want to throw at me? Board 38 yes. In here. We've got room for a couple more. Come on in here.
Hey, Coach.
Just a second, Dale. The other 38. Can't you guys talk? Don't you ever want to say anything? Somebody might hear you? What? Go ahead, Dale.
Okay, so here is how committed the side of darkness is. Like I said, I agree with you. And then the Christian gets their toes stubbed, their feelings hurt, and they're out of the game. In Genesis 19:11, when the angels of the Lord were in Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were in Lot's house, and those men come to come into that house and take those men out and have their way with them, the angels of the Lord struck those men with blindness. And it said that both small and great groped for the door in their blindness still. Brother, that's how committed darkness is.
In other words, Dale, they got struck blind and they still crawled on their hands and knees to go in there and sodomize. They were that committed to their darkness.
That's exactly it. And yet us, brother, man, we can't agree on the color of carpet in a church without having a split.
Now, we heard somebody might be mad at us, so that's not very crazy. I'm so freaking sick of it. Though none go with me still, I'm going to go. I guess, I was sitting around a little bit yesterday feeling sorry for myself. That doesn't happen very often. And I wasn't feeling too sorry for myself. So don't go cry a bed of tears for me. I get so daggone frustrated because I got so much to offer and nobody wants to hear it. It just frustrates me to no end. And I turn on, I don't watch TV. I haven't watched TV in forever, but I see video clips, turn on Fox News. You know, who's talking to you? You know, who's giving us direction on the internet? People with no experience at all, 28, 29, 30, maybe 40-year-old women with long hair and short skirts trying to give us wisdom. We tell this Tommy Lahren on there giving us what the hell's wrong with us, folks? What is wrong with us? And why would the men of God who have great, great depth and understanding, when is the Lord? I'm going to pray that the Lord is going to elevate those guys. But I'm going to tell you, if they elevate you, if you get elevated to where you're really having an impact, you're not going to be around. They're not going to let you do it. Somebody's going to kill you. Someone's going to put a knife through your heart. That's what's going to happen. And I'm going to tell you, some people don't want that. I don't want it. I sure don't want it. But I'm about sick of it. I'm about sick of what's going on. And I don't want to be vigilante and all that stuff they say you shouldn't be. And love, go to 2 Thessalonians. Will you, Jared? 2 Thessalonians.
2 Thessalonians, Coach. I just can think of three incidences recently where when we showed up, God showed up.
Always, right? Always.
You know, Columbus, right? The mosque. Can you imagine a Muslim mosque being so scared of us that they shut down their whole operation on a Friday when it's their special holiday? Because
they're calling for prayer. And they closed it down, right? Just because we showed up, right? And then guys on our side make fun of us. Oh, we're radical. Radical? Hell yeah, I'm radical. Radical means root. Did you know that? Did you know that? Jerry, there's a Webster's 1828 for you. Radical means root. You ever had radical surgery? What does radical surgery mean? It means you get to the root of it. Get to the root of it. I'm a radical. I get to the root of it. To the root of what the problem is. Did you go there, Jared? I kind of threw that at you. Maybe it may not even be up there. Hey, my mind's going 1,000 miles an hour. Yeah, Vinny.
It's just like you take care of medicine. You don't take care of symptoms of the issue. You take care of the issue. Otherwise, the symptoms keep coming back.
That's right. And that's all we do is treat symptoms. And nope, hey, people love to talk about it. People love to write about it. People love to do all that. Now, I'm going to tell you, for every 100 that are writing and talking about it, you won't find one doing anything. Not one. Not one. Getting ready to go to Hear the Watchman conference what's the name of that thing? Lifting the Veil. Lifting the Veil. There won't be two people that are speaking that have any plan for anybody to do anything. None. I got a plan. I'm trying to put together a plan. I see guys at Mike Blake. I see Richard Rapp. I see guys who are faithfully coming alive and going out and living out their faith. Okay, so is there an opportunity to go get more? You say, well, Coach, we don't need it. I tell everybody, listen, I got a plan, but we need an army. We need an army. Then we get guys who join the army, and then their feelings get hurt, and they drop out of it. And they're gone. I said something mean to them on the show, and then they don't listen to the show anymore because they got the feelings hurt. Well, they're not much of a soldier, right? They're not much of a soldier. And they're choosing, well, I'm going to go a different direction. Well, hell, go that direction. I've been doing this for 18 years, and I'm trying to get a handful of guys to do something. I shouldn't. I had guys from 20, 21 different states out here. We need soldiers, man. The other side is like they're freaking wild crazy. They're nuts. They're demon possessed. They're demonically charged. And we, the church, to carry the living Christ inside of us, we are freaking spectators. I'm just
Coach.
Trying to be nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Coach, listen, you know, everybody that's in the queue appreciates you so much for what you've done for so many of us. All right. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. You know, faith. I heard somebody say something the other day. What is faith? What is faith? Faith is taking a risk. You have to be willing to go. You know, we can sit here, Coach, and listen to you and get motivated, but until we go ourselves, until we do something, ain't nothing going to happen.
That's
right.
We
gotta go.
That's right, Glenn. And listen, I don't want to be a monkey grinder. This ain't entertainment radio. You understand? This ain't entertainment. Listen, I'm going to ask you something. How long you been listening to Rush Limbaugh? And I know many times. How long you been listening to Sean Hannity? I know a long time. You've been listening to both of those guys. And how long you been watching Bill O'Reilly? Well, not lately, but how long you watching Bill O'Reilly? They're all homo supporters, by the way. And let me ask you something. Rush Limbaugh with his 7 million listeners or however many he has, 20 million listeners. I mean, when has he ever called any action? You understand that Rush Limbaugh could send out a cry and he could change America. Why didn't he do it?
He's a gatekeeper.
Well, somebody's got some money. He's a gatekeeper. He's a control valve. Same thing with Sean. Sean appears to be fighting a little bit. Hey, Sean, come on your show and call for something, man. I'll say this about Glenn Beck. Remember when Glenn Beck at least had a march on Washington? At least he did that, but he was a stinking Mormon. Right? He's not a follower of Jesus Christ. What if a righteous man said, come on, follow me. Come on, follow me. Come on, Franklin Graham. Coach, you do it. Yeah, I do it. 16 people come. I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm just frustrated as hell. In fact, are you sitting down? I could call right now for a call next weekend or two weekends out for Washington, D.C., and most of you won't.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Coach, you know what? I believe most Christians don't understand the competitive nature of Jesus Christ. And you know, I think we learn a lot of that through sports. You know, you play when you're injured, you play when you're hurt, you get up when you're knocked down. You know, there's a story in the Bible, and you talk about a competitive God that we serve. You know, there's an ancient Israel when Sennacherib, king of Assyria, was going up to take Jerusalem. And that night, one angel of the Lord killed 185,000 men.
That's not very good.
But is that competitive, Coach? I mean, here's, I think, and you know, the Bible's chock full of stories like that, that I bet most Christians don't know because they don't read their Bibles. But it activates my faith where I realize it's not just about me. If God calls me or you to do something, Coach, you know what? He's going to equip us. And even unto death, you know what? It's still victorious because we're in God's perfect will. But it's really all about the power of God, not the pretend power of God that we're seeing in our churches today.
Thanks, George. Listen, you got no control over when you're going to die. None of you do. None of you do. You say, well, I don't want to go out there and risk. I don't want to go out there. I had three classmates die in the last, high school classmates. Three of them die in the last 6 months or so. I don't know if they were planning on dying. They're 65 years old. All the stuff they'd earned their whole life, all the money, everything they gathered, boom, gone. Meaningless. Boom, out of here. Didn't take any of it with them. All thinking they're going, I'm going to live till I'm 85. I'm going to live till I'm 95. I'm going to live till I'm 105. And boom, boom, gone. Gone. Vic Clark, boom, dropped over dead. 65 years old. Boom, gone. And all those accolades and all that stuff that he'd built, he now has no opportunity at all to come back and try to make a difference. And when he's going to go stand before the Lord, and I'm going to go stand before the Lord, and I'm going to look back over my shoulder, I'm going to see all the stuff that I could have done, but I didn't. I didn't have the faith to do it. I didn't have the courage to do it. I just didn't do it. Just didn't do it. Looking for somebody else. Always looking for somebody else to do it. Well, listen, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. We need an army. I need a team. I need a team. That's my great frustration. Jared, pull up there. 2 Thessalonians, did I say that? Okay, pull that up there. By 2 Thessalonians, begin chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 2. Anyway. Chapter 2. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. I've never been around a much losers than Christians. Freaking losers. Not committed. Cowardly, stinking losers. There's no other way to say it, man. They have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords dwelling inside of them, and they cower at every freaking threat that comes their way. Oh, they might get mad at me. Oh, they might say something mean to me. Oh, I might lose my job. Well, hell, I hope you do. I hope you lose your job for something else. Well, I'm feeling this morning.
They might key my car.
Yeah, they might key my car. They might throw something in my windows. Hell's, yeah, yeah. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him, that you be not so soon shaken in your mind, all right? Or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now that word at hand means imminent. Readily available. It doesn't mean that this day of Christ is, boy, he's about to come back. That's not what it means. It's imminent. Imminent. Jared, there's a good word. Look that one up if you can't. Imminent. E-M-M-I-N-A-T-E. Hate to pull the fast one on you, but it's the imminency. The imminency. Imminent. It means anytime. Be poised. Be ready at any time. Any time. Imminent. E-E-E. E. No, start again. Begins with an E. Imminent. E-M. M. Another M. I-N. All right.
Actually, Coach, that imminent starts with an I. The other, that's imminent.
Oh, sorry, Benny.
No worries.
There we are. I'm sorry. Imminent. What's it mean? To hang over in minor, literally shooting over, hence hanging over, impending, threatening, near, appearing as if about to fall on. Use the visa as an imminent danger, imminent judgment, imminent evils, imminent, imminent. It could happen at any time. It's hanging over us. His presence is imminent anytime. Because why? He's outside of time. Imminent. God's not controlled by time. His presence is imminent, ever ready, any moment. Ah, I feel this morning, that rage in me this morning. Let's go back to Thessalonians. Jesus is coming. I see it here. I see it in the stars. There's a blood moon. Oh, my goodness. Hey, dude, been imminent as the day of Christ is at hand. It's imminent, baby. It's right here. It is within you. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, because if I go away, I'm going to send a comforter, and he that was with you is going to be in you. He ain't him. He is there, man. Kingdom of God is within. Let no man deceive you by any means. Time out. I guess you can be deceived. And I guess you can be deceived by men. And so Paul says, don't let any man deceive you by any means, any way, right? For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We love to talk about the Antichrist. The Antichrist. Wow, the Antichrist is here and the Antichrist is there. And he's the Antichrist. Obama's the Antichrist. Keep reading. Who's the man, son of perdition? Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God. Now, time out a minute. I know a lot of Antichrists. I'm going to pause right there because that's a great place for somebody to say amen. I know a lot of Antichrists who oppose and exalt themselves above all that is called God. You, anybody know any of those guys?
Amen.
I know a lot of
them. Amen.
I know a lot of them.
Amen.
Who amen. Himself above all that is called God or that is worship. They worship themselves. They're little antichrist. Anti against Christ. Christ against Christ. Antichrists. So that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Wow. Remember, don't you guys remember that when I was with you, I told you this? And now, you know what? You know, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Here we are. But the mystery of iniquity is already at work. It's 2,000 years ago. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. It's an antichrist spirit, the spirit of antichrist. Only he who now controls it will stop controlling it. Until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You understand that this battle ain't going to be much of a battle. You understand he's going to open his mouth and zap, it's going to be over. You understand that? No. Jesus looking, checking the stars. And the, what? There's a blood moon coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. With all powers and signs and lying wonders. My goodness. I see this so clearly. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Man, oh man. Deceivableness of unrighteousness. See, they're unrighteous and they think it's okay. That's a deception. The deceivableness of the unrighteous. And them that perish. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? Let's go back. And for this cause, right? And then because they receive, verse 10, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, because they didn't receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved, God shall send them a strong delusion. They should believe a lie. Churches are full of people believing lies. Churches are full of people who aren't saved believing lies. And churches are full of people who are compromised. They're compromised. They love the world. They're of the world. They bring the world with them. They follow the rules of the world. And amen. So they are deceived. They're just, can I tell you what's going on? The churches are full of it. The guys standing in the pulpits are full of deception. They won't engage. They won't fight because why? They think they're going to be raptured out of here. Or whatever it might be, or Christians don't get involved in politics, whatever excuse they have, not lay it on the line, okay? They don't lay it on the line for the Lord. Because if they lay it on the line for the Lord, they ain't going to have a very big church for very long. And for this cause, God sending them, you get this, fellas? God sending the delusion. God sending a different set of waves. Maybe a lie. That they all...
Hey, Coach.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Hey, folks, how many people do you think that is? Right there, verse 12. Think about the church where you go. Think about the town in which you live. All of them are going to be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. How big is that bucket? you suppose.
Wow.
Go ahead, George.
Coach, take this the right way, but me personally, and I'll bet you most guys in the queue, we would never have done a lot of the stuff we've done, like go to the abortion clinics, the homosexual parade, all that stuff, had it not been for a bold leader like you. And it's and we know we're not following you. We're following you as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a representative of Jesus Christ just like I am, right? Right. So if none of us or very few of us would have done, just think about the people in the churches today. Look who they're following. I have conversations with people all the time that love their do-nothing pastors that really are doing very little for the kingdom. And I think that's why the Bible says, this day, whom will you serve? That's the question of the day. Whom will you serve?
Amen.
Which Jesus?
So I got this email yesterday. I just want to share it. I'm not going to say it's from, although he probably wouldn't care. I just got these kind of things encourage me. Hey, Coach, I just want to thank you that the Lord put you into my life. I know my life is changing every day, learning to unlearn what has been taught to me my whole life. I see so much how we can love someone all the way to hell. I struggled this weekend at a family reunion. I have a younger brother who's 17, but mentally he's about 10 or 11. I have my truth sounds like hate shirt on. He read it and told my older brother, who takes care of him, to explain what it was talking about because he has friends that are homosexual. So I'm not sure what my brother told him, but he came in to me in the setting where there were several of my siblings and my father, and proceeded to tell the group that this guy was upset by my shirt and that he had two homosexual friends. So my brother tried to tell me that he doesn't understand. We ended up in an argument, and I said some things I probably should not have said. But my point to him was that if he can understand my t-shirt, then he can be taught the difference between right and wrong about homosexuality. All my brother was worried about was him being upset. Sorry for just rambling. I just felt bad that I lost my temper in front of the group. I want to thank you for giving the tools to engage. I just need more practice. Yada, yada, yada. Love you, Coach. Keep being available for God to use. I'm trying to put gravel in your belly. Thanks. Thanks, Mike, for that email. Let's go.
Hey, Coach. You know, yeah. We follow you because you follow the Word of God. We don't worship you like a cult. That's stupidity. You know, we can put an end to it. So, Kyle, go find something else to write about. Stupid. How about that?
By the way, I worked out again yesterday. Just want you to know, I had a good workout yesterday, day number 4. You guys are supposed to hold me to it, and you didn't do it yet. Okay, Jared. Jared, go to it. Says okay to hate. Okay to hate. I read this. Okay. I came across this. I don't know where I came across it. God, guys, do you know God hates? You know He hates. And if God hates, are we allowed to hate? Is it okay for a Christian to hate?
Absolutely.
Well, not people. I don't hate people, but I hate what people do. You understand the difference in those two things?
You can hate people too, Coach, because the Bible says God hated Esau.
Hates all workers of iniquity. God does. Yeah. So yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you, Karen. This popped into my. I don't know where it came from. On the grassy medium of Park Avenue, overlooked by the homes of some of the richest people in the world, a bronze plaque is embedded in concrete to ensure that we never forget one of the heroes of America's Revolutionary War. It's not a general or even a foot soldier, but instead the plaque honors a prostitute who somehow delayed British officers long enough to allow George Washington and his troops to escape from New York. Sorry, I forgot her name, and I assume her tactics were honorable. But what's more important to this discussion is the motive for her actions, for putting herself in harm's way to assist unknown and anonymous brothers in their common struggle. The motive, I'm sorry to say, wasn't love, devotion, or even patriotism, but instead, it was pure hatred. She risked her life to help those who were killing her hated enemy, whatever their names may be. She wasn't counted among the 3% that won the war, but instead, she was part of the much bigger percentage that made victory possible. Wow. A revolution cannot succeed without popular support. And although much more than 3% may be looking forward to it, they would still face an uphill battle without much of the population on their side.
Amen.
Our world would understand this. And this is why they devote so much time, money, and effort to keeping Americans divided.
Mm.
You have to inspire the shared hatred that will unite all Americans in our common struggle for the Bill of Rights. And you'll best do that by pointing out the crimes and abuses of those in power and expressing how you hate them for it. They've robbed us. They've killed our children. They've impoverished innocent Americans, unjustly imprisoned all of us in the financial system. They've deceived us. They've stolen our children's minds, if not the children themselves, and they've epitomized humanity's evil extreme. They fill a cesspool of war, murder, brutality, corruption, betrayal, greed, treason, and perversion. I can easily fill another paragraph with their long train of abuses, which is out of the Declaration. But if you don't hate them already, you may be deserving of some hatred yourself.
Well, amen.
There's still a lot of people who aren't getting real news or any news, but they're not completely blind to what's going on around them either. They remain slightly confused.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, that's a huge problem. I believe the majority of Americans, they're really not awake. They don't realize that we are all slaves. Coach, you and I, we are slaves to this system.
George,
Okay. I told my wife the other day, I said, you know what? We're really not free. I said, this house we live in.
Jared, can you go back up a little bit? I want to pick up this thought again. Let me stop right here a second. I've been accused of inciting anger. I hope so. I hope I am. Righteous anger. I hope I'm inciting righteous anger. You watch this show. I never told anybody go grab a gun, go do anything to anybody, ever, ever. But at some point, you're going to have to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. At some point, you're just going to have to get pissed off. And you're not there yet. They remain slightly confused. But are scrolling down, Jared. I'm sorry. Remain slightly confused, but are receptive to new information because even the deepest sleepers are starting to see that they've been betrayed. We may already have the popular support we need, but many of them are easily misdirected by propaganda. Express your anger at its proper target, and you'll soon see others aiming at the same target, which, of course, makes all of this a lot easier for everyone on our side. Many people are already angry and only need to see that there are others who share that sentiment. This is no time to be shy. We'll be going to war soon, and we'll need everyone on our side that we can get. See, some of you still don't believe that. Some of you don't believe that we're going to be going to war soon. Now, I don't know what that war is going to look like. But if you don't think, you want to hear something. You listened last night on Hagman Report, the second hour. Dave Janda was on. An hour worth hearing. That was the federal government, the IRS, tried to do to him simply because he was speaking the truth about Obama. You think it's not coming? See, they don't have to come with guns. They don't have to come with that. The accusations are going to fall. Look what they've done to Trump. We know that whole thing's made up. We know the whole thing's made up, and they continue to do it. Why? Because ain't nobody pissed about it.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
If we don't recognize and realize we are in a spiritual war, we will have to end up fighting a bloody war.
That's what I'm saying. There comes a time when all people are either part of the solution or part of the problem. But until then, we should be strengthening local bonds, building your downline, finding comrades, and recruiting all kinds of help by simply pointing out that we do have one common enemy, controlling both political parties, and they happen to be attacking us. Actually, can I tell you, our enemy is the evil one? It's never changed. He's just changed forms. If I were to do a show on the Federal Reserve, do you have any idea how they've enslaved us? Do you have any idea how ungodly and unrighteous the tax system is, the income tax? Do you understand? Okay. If they made you pay your income tax, if they made you write a check every week, do you have any idea how pissed off people would be if they had to write that check to the IRS every week? Instead, they withhold it so you never even really see it, and you go out and you work for $20 an hour, but really make about $12 an hour, and we're too stupid to see the difference, and they're enslaving us, and they're bringing in people. You know, see, the whole problem started when they started the welfare program. We've always had immigration. Immigrants came here to work. They came here to work. And then we start the welfare system, and they come here for handouts, and nobody's mad about it. Nobody's upset. Guys are working their butts off. And they're paying all the money to taxation to watch Hillary and Bill all get away with it. No one's ticked. Oh, was that Roger trying to come in?
Oh, I was wanted to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. Dale had mentioned it. And if you go to Ezekiel, I think it's 16. I'm flipping there myself now. One of the things also, we think of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were just having butt sex, and that's why God was upset.
Yeah.
But Ezekiel points out, and in my little sissy Bible, it's probably better in the King James, it says in 16, I think it's verse 48, they were unconcerned. The people of Sodom were unconcerned. They didn't care. That's where we are now. God is mad at us. If we think he is not, we're wrong. In Sodom, they were unconcerned. They were having butt sex. And they were unconcerned about what was going on and how they were treating their Lord.
Behold, there was iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. And neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor or the needy. And they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. Amen. Let's go back, Jared. I want to complete this. Nobody's mad. You're not allowed to be mad. I get up every morning, and I wonder when they're coming. I'm telling you, every morning when I get up, every night when I go to bed, how long are they going to let me do this? How long? And you know what's going to happen? When it does happen, you know who's going to be cheering the loudest? Pastors. They're going to be cheering the loudest. Where am I? If you're reading this, you already know enough to explain false flags, false opposition, and propaganda techniques to others. And all Americans need to be aware of these things to avoid falling into victim to further deceit. All empirical data we have on the subject suggests that the vast majority of Americans are already on our side. But they remain silent because media messages convinced them they are alone in a tiny minority. And they ban me on Facebook, and they ban me on YouTube, and they ban me on Vimeo, because the last thing they want is for others to know that there's a guy here yelling, "Wake up!" It's your blatant expression of hatred for the crooks. I hate what the Clintons have done to America. I hate what President Obama has done to America. And I hate that so many Americans are deceived and can't see it. It infuriates me. Not black, white, not rich, poor, not Republican, Democrat. We can't even see it. It's your blatant expression of hatred for the crooks. I hate those crooks and perverts ruling this country that will change this. By giving our side the visibility it needs. Well, there goes that coach. He's inciting violence, am I? In the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence. Violent men take it by force. Jared, while you're searching here, let's go to Webster's look up violence.
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
Is it against the law to have a good news TV channel?
Well, of course not, but we're not going to have that. Gatekeepers.
Yeah. There you go. Yep.
Look at that violence. Number two, moral force. Vehement. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and those of moral force and vehemence take it by force. Outrage. Unjust force. Eagerness. Vehement. See, violence isn't taking guns and shooting people. Violence is a heart issue. You see the difference in that, folks? You understand that? That until you get violent, you're not going to do a damn thing. And what's violent? Vehement. Emotional. Right? That's vehement. I'm vehement.
Hey, Coach, they're not going to do anything till it personally affects their little nook of the world and their little possessions. That was good, Roger, what you had shared. But if you go back and you see where Abraham, where our faith, you know, that seed that comes down through Abraham, Lot was his nephew. And here's the visual of the church and the Lord. And Abraham put it before him. He said, Lot, which way do you want to go? Because there was a separation happening. And Lot wanted to take what? The greener side. He wanted to go where the money was. He wanted to go where the possessions were. And he separated himself from Abraham, brother, and that began the downfall. And that's what the church is doing. The church only wants the possession. They only want the things. And, brother, they have separated themselves from the faith.
Hey, Pastor Dale, you're right. And I'm just sitting there just thinking about this. Jared, get that back up on the screen, by the way, thing we were reading. See, are you your brother's keeper? You would be enraged if they raped your child. But you're not enraged you're raping others? There's something wrong. There's something wrong with that mentality. There's something wrong when this great delusion comes and we believe a lie that we're not supposed to do anything about. That God's just love, 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 love. God's hate. I've got that down here too. Hang on. Oh. All the empirical data we have on the subject suggests that the vast majority of Americans are already on our side, but they remain silent because media messages have them convinced that they're all alone, their tiny minority. It's your blatant expression of hatred for the crooks and the perverts ruling this country that will change this by giving our side the visibility it needs. The visibility is needed to inspire confidence in others that we're not just a few in numbers, but instead we have the power to shake these crooks off our backs on a whim. Even if your message is not well received by some, amen, boys and girls, it will be remembered and reinforced by someone else at another time and place. Planting and watering. Get it? You plant a message, somebody else will water it, and sometime this guy's going to wake up and say, you know what? That damn coach was right. You may not be present to witness the growth of the hatred in an American, but if you plant the seed, someone else will water it. And a third party may add the right fertilizer for this needed hatred to grow. Once growth begins, it will expand exponentially, just as we've already seen happen with the dissemination of truth. Few people will argue in defense of a pedophile. Think, I want you to listen. Very few people will argue in defense of a pedophile. So you'll make good progress by pointing out that this particular plague of aversion is popular among our elected officials. It is. It is. We know it is. Where people are struggling to eat and pay rent, it's good to remind them of the $21 trillion that disappeared from the Pentagon, where thousands of computers have been caught logging onto kitty porn sites. By making some of you uncomfortable, I hope it is. Tell me this, what places them above the laws that dictate your actions every day? Have I told you? Policing the law abiding. You're following the law, and they're going to put cops out there, and they're going to keep you in line because they know they can't control the real. So what they got to do is they got to control the rest of us. And that's what your pastor's good at, controlling you. What did I say? Conforming you. He said, well, not all pastors. Oh, really? Really? Maybe not Pastor Dale. I see him out in the street pushing back. What places them above the laws that dictate your actions every day? Hopefully you have no desire to view child porn, but you still know that doing so would result in a long prison sentence, unless, of course, you happen to be part of our government. Why are these people in the foreign armies they've invited in immune from the prosecution that would have you behind bars for similar action? You pissed? Didn't that piss you off? See, some of you are mad. I'm saying pissed. Well, I'm saying it again. The arbitrary enforcement of law is the definition of tyranny. The government agencies that we pay to ensure that our food and medicine are safe and healthy, well, they're allowing us to be poisoned. Those tasked with guarding our environment will gladly see it polluted for a small bribe, as they put chemtrails over the top of us. But you don't believe in those, of course, because your pastor or somebody told you it's not true. That's tinfoil hat stuff. Don't go there. Don't go there. And of course, the news industry that's supposed to be keeping the public informed on these matters has been working hand in hand with the enemy to ensure that we remain victim of our government's endless crimes. Is this unbelievable? This is right there, man. We have a population that's been conditioned to be politically correct, non-confrontation, conform, there's that word, and to shun any type of hatred. You have to show them that it's okay to hate again. And you're going to have to lead by example. Hate isn't a crime. Even though they try to call them hate crimes, you think that's by accident? Hate isn't a crime. It's a natural human emotion, and sometimes it's a necessary one because it prevents us from falling victim to those who would hurt or kill us or our children who have already done so. Hatred has a legitimate place in our society. And there are many people deserving of hatred right now.
Hi, Coach. Can you hear me? What's so bad is I have no problem saying God, but I can't say Jesus Christ. That's how bad it is.
Oh, yeah, right. That God ain't God. God, which God? Oh, you can say that.
Right.
Is there any reason that you hate those who've stolen all you should have? To the people who lie to you whenever they speak and who molest any child within reach? Is there any reason why you don't hate those kind of people? Talk to the parents about government pedophilia. Talk to the poor about government theft. Talk to the victims of our justice about police brutality, the loss of common law courts, and their unlawful imprisonment, and the ungodly fines that keep the system running. In short, find the soft spot in everyone where seeds of hatred are most likely to grow, and make sure the seed is firmly planted by expressing your own hatred without making any threats, of course. Jolly Rogers, the guy who wrote this. Show people that it's okay to hate again, because those in power have made it necessary and happen to deserve all the hatred we can muster. Hating them is now a necessity of our survival, so spread it quickly. Aristotle said, to enjoy the things we ought, to hate the things we ought, has on excellence character.
You know,
if you don't hate something, then you don't really love.
You know, I don't know who could disagree that you shouldn't hate anyone who tries to molest your young child or your young grandchildren or great grandchildren. And guess what? We have an entire school system that molests our children every day in what they're teaching them and what the attitudes and the morals, the amorals that they're trying to press into our grandchildren and children. They are telling them it's okay to put your penis in somebody else's tail end.
They would never.
We don't hate them, but we better start.
You would never let them do it in your home. You would never let those perverts come into your home and teach your kids about sodomy, but you let them do it with your tax dollars in your local school. What's the difference? The difference is they do it in my home. They leave with no freaking teeth.
Do it in the public schools, they get a raise.
Coach, you also have to consider, you talk about the different teams, like the good team and the bad team, and the enemy, they know how to hate. You see it out on the streets everywhere. They're organized in their hate, and they are allowed to show it. It's just us who are not allowed to show it. We need to wake up and start fighting the enemy on the enemy's terms and play the game. This is ridiculous.
Karen, there is no love without hate. Sometimes the greatest expression of love is hate. Golly! Golly! Why can't we see that? God hates sin! He hated it! He did something. God so loved the world. He did something. Probably looked like hate. Probably to his son, probably looked like hate. It was love. Love is a response to hate. Hate is a response to love. What do they call us? Haters. No, no, we're lovers. They start saying, I'm lovers. Ah, you haters. No, I'm a lover. I'm a lover of truth. I'm a lover of truth. And I hate sin. I'm going to need a shower this morning.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, I know this used to be me, but don't most people really just want to be liked? They really care more about what people think of them. You know, I've gotten to the point I really don't care what people think of me. I do care what people I respect, like some of the guys on this huddle, like you, think of me. But what trumps even that is, what does God think about my actions? And you know, that's, most people are trying to please man. And if we would work as hard to please God, we as believers would turn this nation around. There's no question. The wicked would cower to us if we would just do that one simple thing.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm running out of time. I'm looking at the clock here. David Arthur did the most unbelievable teaching yesterday on Once Saved, Always Saved. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see that on his show. He's in Philadelphia right now. His show's going to come up at 9 o'clock. No, yeah, 9 o'clock. His show will start at 9 o'clock. I'm going to tell you something. David, I didn't tell you this. I see he's in here. I was transfixed by what you taught yesterday. Folks, if you get a chance, go find him at where's the easiest place for them to find that, David?
AlphabetManLive.com.
AlphabetManLive.com.
I'm finishing up on that today. Well, I'm going back into it today, Coach, because there's so much scripture that people just don't have a clue.
David, I was blown away yesterday. I was. AlphabetManLive.com. AlphabetManLive.com. He did a teaching yesterday on Once Saved, Always Saved. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Folks, I love the Lord more than I love people. I'm sorry. I love the Lord. My fealty and my loyalty is to Christ. And I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I don't want to upset people's feelings. But you know what? Enough's enough, isn't it? Enough's enough. Why do Christians think, why do we have to be the ones who always compromise? Why are we always giving ground? Why are we always backing up? Why are we always meeting in the middle? Why do we go from no homosexuality into our schools, but okay, not till the fourth grade. Mom, you can't do it in kindergarten. You got to wait till the fourth grade. We just are freaking victims. We just compromise, compromise, compromise. Because why? Because we don't share our father's hatred. It says in Psalm 11:3 that he hates all workers of iniquity. We'll see you tomorrow.